This week, if you think about it, and we usually don't very much, we really read a very depressing part of the Torah. I mean, whatever bad happens in the Torah, or whatever bad happens in life, it's not as bad as what happened in the time of Noah, where if you were not a fish, everything was destroyed. The whole world is wrecked. And Noah builds this boat on which he and some animals and a few people survive, but still, as much as you can put yourself in the situation of another human being in times of crisis or pain or sorrow, who can imagine what it must have been like to be Noah, who in his time saw the entire world destroyed? Everything he knew and everything he loved and everyone he remembered, don't forget, Noah's a person with a childhood, with friends, with acquaintances, people he grew up with, places he remembered, and all of a sudden the entire world is wiped out. And not wiped out over the period of years and years and years, but just like that. Now, it doesn't matter for our purposes whether you think the story and the character of Noah happened exactly as the Bible depicts. Just imagine what we're supposed to understand from this, from a person whose entire world is destroyed, because we do know people whose entire world has been destroyed. So the question for this morning, at least the beginning of the question this morning, is what does Noah do? How does he react? Because after all, as you heard from Rabbi Schuldenfrei and from our Benot Mitzvah, Noah is an exceptional character. He's a tzaddik, a righteous man, granted bedorotav in his generation, but still there had to be some reason why this person is singled out. Once he is saved, what does Noah do? And the rabbis actually aren't too happy that he does this. He plants a vineyard. But it's hard to blame him. You know, after the world is destroyed, who wouldn't need a drink? And even though the rabbis are not happy that Noah is the first person who's creating wine, I gotta say, especially for all of us who on Shabbat lunch will make Kiddush, even though our day was much better than Noah's, it's hard to blame Noah for wanting a little glass of wine after you saw the whole world destroyed. But then Noah does something quite remarkable, and in fact, my guess is that almost nobody in the congregation realizes that Noah is the first one to do this. Noah, who has just seen the world destroyed, who has seen everything that he ever knew wiped off the face of the earth, is the first person in the Bible to make a blessing. Up to now, only God has blessed. But Noah blesses. And his first blessing is Baruch Adonai, blessed be God. The first one. And one of the things that this teaches us, which is a constant theme in the Jewish tradition, is that however dire and painful and tragic the situation, there still is a space for a blessing. There still is a place for gratitude for what is, even as there is sadness for everything that is not. And so the first lesson that we learn from Noah is that there is no tragedy so cataclysmic, no sadness so deep, no loss so enormous that you can't bless. You know, tonight at the synagogue, we're having Mitch Albom speak about his new book, Have a Little Faith, the one who wrote Tuesdays with Maury and Five People You Meet in Heaven. He was on Dr. Phil yesterday, so he must be very famous. And he's talking, his book is about two clergy, both of whom underwent terrible tragedies and built beautiful lives. One Jewish, one Christian. 7 o'clock, I hope you'll be there. It'll be short, you'll still have time for a Saturday night. But Noah endured something that no one could even imagine and still found the possibility for a blessing, which leads to the second lesson. That is that the world can always be renewed. Always. Lives can be renewed. Worlds can be rebuilt. This is a time, as you know, in our country, when a lot of people have lost what they built in their lives. And it's painful. And it's tragic. Sometimes they lost it through economic losses. Some of them have lost it through the cruelty and criminality of others, pension funds that were exploited and destroyed, and someone built this up their whole lives, and then it's gone. And the lesson of Noah is it's never too late to rebuild the world. That single green shoot that he sees when the waters subside, let him know that after winter there is spring, and the world can always be rebuilt. That's true for a world and true for a life, whatever the tragedy, whatever the calamity, whatever the pain. But then there's a lesson that Noah doesn't teach, but that the Torah does. Because this week I learned from a rabbi in our community, Rabbi Sharon Brouse, who faxed me a beautiful passage from Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev in his Kedushat Levi, that he teaches about Noah that there are two kinds of tzaddikim. There are two kinds of righteous people. One is a righteous person like Noah. Noah was the kind of righteous person who could be a blessing for himself, but he didn't save anyone around him. Noah didn't go to the people around him and say, climb aboard my ark because a flood is coming, or repent because God is going to destroy the world. Noah managed to save himself and his family, but that was the extent of his blessing. He managed when the flood was gone to thank God, but that was as much as he could do. But next week, says Reb Lev Yitzchak, we learn about Abraham. And what does God say to Abraham? Not only that I bless you, but that you shall be a blessing. V'nivrechu v'cha, through you others will be blessed. Abraham didn't only keep what we call in a sort of casual way a positive attitude, but he rather spread his message to the world. Remember, when Abraham left Haran, when he left his home, he left with hundreds of people, kol ha-nifashot asher asu b'Haran, all the souls that he made in Haran. And the rabbis say that means all the people that Abraham brought to God. Because Abraham's circle of love was much wider than Noah's. It wasn't just his family. Abraham loved the world. Maybe God chose Noah because Noah could see the world destroyed and still live with it. But Abraham wasn't that way. Abraham needed to rebuild the world. That's why, even though Noah managed to survive by building the ark, Abraham survived by building the Jewish people. Because Abraham didn't only feel love, he expressed it to others. He drew others in. He created a blessing, and he made a people. Therefore, God gives Noah the direction to build a boat, to build an ark, to build something that will preserve him. But God gives Abraham the direction to build a community, to build a nation. Something that will carry God's word throughout the world. We are going to have, as we have had, some difficult times, and people will wonder how best to make it through. But the lesson is clear. The best way to make it through difficult times is Abraham's way, which is not only to express blessing, but to be a blessing to others. Not only to be grateful for what you have, but to share it. Not only to feel love, but to give love. V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachei ha'adama. Through you, God says to Abraham, all the families of all the nations of the world will be blessed. Noah may have saved the world, but Abraham created it. And we, as the Jewish people, are the children of Abraham. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.